tell me I have been a good man. We're looking at Romans chapter 12. If you want to find that in a Bible or on an electronic device that you brought with you, that would be great, because I'm going to work through that for a few minutes. And while you're looking that up, let me just say that I'm so glad to be asked to speak today on the day that there's four people standing up publicly to proclaim their faith in Jesus. Everyone here is standing with you. I really want to encourage you by saying that. We're here because of you. We've heard your profession of faith. We're standing with you, or sitting with you at the moment, actually. But we're all rooting for you. You've come to the decision to be baptized because you know that Jesus has done something you could not do for yourself. And that's exactly what we're going to think about from Romans 12. You'll look back on this day and you'll think, so, okay, God, what difference did it really make? What do you want me to do now? How am I supposed to live? Romans 12 is your answer, and I hope that you'll spend some more time in this passage. You see, we are called to continually offer ourselves to the God who's given us all we need that we couldn't gain ourselves. We continually offer ourselves to the God who's given us all we need that we couldn't gain ourselves. We will never move on from that place. Just as in that clip, Private Ryan actually never moves on from the grave of Captain John H. Miller. You could say that in his heart and his mind, he carries the death of that man before him wherever he goes. He never moves on from that, and we never move on from the cross, where Jesus paid the total cost of the debt that we owe for our mistaken lives. Now, if you've watched that film carefully, you might think that there's a payback moment involved, because just as he's dying, just before that clip, the captain says to him, James, earn this. Earn it, and then he dies. As if he's got to somehow pay him back for that. But with God, you know, it can't ever be like that. If you've got Romans 12 open, just in front of that passage, Romans 11 verse 35 says this, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? And in verses 3 and 6 of Romans 12, Paul teaches us that God is the God who gives gifts freely. It will be daft to try and pay God back. It's a silly idea. Well, you can't pay him back. But let me explain this a bit more. Sometimes this kind of thinking creeps into the way we live. At Christmas, just been, you might rush round to send a card to a neighbour who sent you one because you think, oh, I need to give them one. Or maybe you feel you need to give someone a pot of jam because they give you a very nice pot of jam. So you quickly cook one up and take that round. But you know, there is a place just to accept a gift, say thank you, and then just live in the light of that. This is a uniquely Christian value, actually. My wife and I once gave a gift to some people that we thought they really needed something, so we gave it to them, and they returned it to us. They decided they didn't need it. That was really odd. We found that was a bit strange. They didn't want the gift from us. Okay. So we gave it to somebody else who was very grateful and said, thank you very much, and man often used it straight away. But look, with Jesus, there is no payment to wipe the slate clean. 11 verse 35 says, you cannot give to God so God owes you one. It doesn't work like that. God has already made total payment. Everything we do is in grateful thanks because we know we're loved, we're welcomed, we're rescued, and we see Jesus, the loving, welcoming, strong rescuer. So our love for God has grown. That's exactly what we've heard this morning. That there is what living in view of God's mercy is. Being thankful in the way we live when God doesn't give us what we deserve. That's a relief, isn't it? In the film, Ryan was due to die horribly like his brothers had. Actually, Captain Miller died horribly. They swapped lives. It was a swap that set him free. When Captain Miller died, he lost everything. He lost his job, he lost his home, he lost his family, he lost everything else. All those good things. Ryan gained all of that. It was a gift to him. The same is true for us in Jesus. When we gain Jesus, we gain in him all the good things that God has for us because of his death. And we no longer fear darkness, despair, destruction, being cut off from God and God's goodness for all eternity. That's a great salvation. That's what it says in verse 1 here. Listen, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. What we do is we respond with a thank you. I will follow you. I will in response to God. Because God already owns you. And he really can say, I own you, bro. And really mean that about you now. Because he's bought you in Jesus. He owns our lives. that's the only logical thing to do. In fact, the word that's translated spiritual in there, look at it with me, your spiritual act of worship, it says that word spiritual can actually be translated reasonable or actually logical in the Greek. It makes sense. It made sense for Ryan to spend his whole life thinking back to Captain John H. Miller and wanting to go back to his graveside and remember that. It made complete sense because he knew he'd been saved by him. The truth of it got to his heart and it really made him think. It changed the way he thinks. That is what Paul is saying to you here. Look at verse 2 with me. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let your minds, and the Greek word here is nous, nous. I don't know how you pronounce that, but nous, we talk about that in the black country, or at least I remember that word when I grew up. Use your nous, use your head, get your thinking straight, get your thinking changed. Think it through so that the way you decide what is good, the way you think, yeah I'm going to get involved in that, no, I'm not getting involved in that, changes. Let me give you an illustration about football. Let's say you're not very good at football. And yet your coach gives you a go. And he puts you in a really strong position up front with supporting players around you so that he knows the team is going to win. And you have a dodgy left foot, but it will be okay. And you'll know you'll be able to use it in the game. So you're out on the pitch now. You've been put right up front. Who are you listening to? You could miss the voice of the coach far back on the touchline. And you can hear the opposition players jeering you. Yeah, he's a legless lefty loser. He's no good. Look at him. Or maybe you hear the cry of your own midfield behind you. And maybe they're saying, what have you put him up for? He's useless. Everyone knows he's useless. And then your own doubts and your own memories crush in. Like the last time you fluffed up and then someone had a go at you and you feel really crushed. You see, there is peer pressure. There are your own habits, your own family life, which might not help sometimes. Your own feelings, which might all be wrong. All these reasons will try and squeeze you not to think right and live right. But go back to the football illustration for a minute. You're going to listen, I hope, to the coach's encouragement calling out to you from the touchline. And you're going to grow on the support of these two guys playing up front with you. So when the ball is crossed to you, your gammy left leg can swing into action and score. Now you know you did not own that place. But the coach picked you. And he's working to make you a fine player who gets lifelong results. The way you think about yourself has changed. You're not thinking so much about yourself anymore. You're listening to the coach. You're listening to the coach's instructions. You trust the coach's game plan. Now, speaking as a football coach, I used to coach 12-year-old boys. It's very important when the boys actually do play according to the game plan that I've set. Because I know I'm trying to get the best out of them. And the coach in this illustration, God wants to get the best out of you. That is God's way of doing things. The God way of living that becomes clearer and clearer. So look, that's a struggle. Verse 2, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. There is a struggle between, how am I going to live, God's way or the world's way? In the ways of the world, life is about me. It's about what I can get out of it, what my reputation is, how I put myself first, how I succeed, how I fail. In God's new way, he gets the glory, not me. He's God after all. He gets the credit for my GCSEs or my college results or my A-level results or that report that I file at work. I depend on him. I want to grow up and I want to be changed to live his way. This is a radical new pattern. It's like a revolutionary new jeans design. You throw the old jeans away because they're just no good. And you let God change you and walk his way. So total transformation is what we're thinking about today in the light of God's salvation. Paul knows that we need to think a lot more about this, and so he wrote the rest of chapter 12, which is very helpful. Now, the first part of this is mostly about life with other Christians. The second part of this is mostly life with people outside the church. I've only got time to draw some highlights from this today. There's a lot more that I've got time for. You might want to read it yourself later. But I'm going to start by talking about life with other Christians. That will be that. First slide. Can you skip back for me, John? Thank you. Life with other Christians. Verses 3 to 16. How am I changing God's way? Now look at verse 3 for a minute, because God starts with the way that we think, and he uses these words, sober judgment, in verse 3. That's by looking at God first and not ourselves. And then this passage moves to think about where we fit in with other people, and then we're challenged about our heart attitudes in verse 9 about sincerity and sincere love. So if you want to think this morning about how do I live and behave as a Christian who's obeying the coach's voice? I'm being baptized. I want to move on with Jesus, whether I'm a teenager or an adult. Or maybe you're someone else today who's a Christian and you've been listening to the coach. Then need to look at verses 3, 4, and 5 with me and see the order of the way God thinks. God thinks this way. First of all, you think about God first. Secondly, you think about the other person. Thirdly, then you think about where you might fit in. Look at verse 3. Paul writes, "For the grace given me, it was a gift for me to say to you, don't think of yourself more highly than you should." That is a gift. To take yourself out of the center spot. The pride that says, me and my gifts, or me and my problems come first. Instead, we think of God, the giver of faith. And then we look at other Christians. And then we ask ourselves with verses 5 and 6. Look at verse 5. In Christ, we are one body now. Each member belongs to all the others. We've all got different gifts. Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in? I want to think about this by using the H2O Friday Night Youth Group as an illustration. In H2O, on a Friday night, we really want to see God is the boss. And that is why we talk about him from the Bible. That's why the leaders meet and pray together. That's what we encourage one another to do. That's why we run games and we think really hard about running a club where we make people feel welcome. Now, how do you fit in with H2O? How does God get glory from you being there? You're all a part of it. Okay, except Andy, although at this point you may wish you were a part of that. Or you may be wishing a little bit more that actually you were involved in the youth ministry at Soldiersford, in which case we can talk about that later. That would be great. Okay? Anyway, so the three of you who are teens, you turn up and you're part of that and you enjoy that. But is H2O really for you? You see, that would be slipping into the world way of thinking and thinking, oh, what do I get out of this? What's in it for me? Actually, because you know now Jesus has brought you into his kingdom and changed your heart and is teaching your mind to think differently, you can ask this question, okay, God, so how can these other guys at H2O be better off because I'm there? What can I do that puts you first and me second? And how can I serve? You can think, so other people are using their gifts. Do you know, I don't need to beat someone at that because they're really good at that. Or I don't need to feel bad because I can't do that. God, where do I fit in? Where's my part of the body? So that we all grow up together. Maybe you bless H2O with milkshake making to the glory of God. Maybe that's your gift. Or maybe you step aside from milkshake making so that somebody else can have a go and you want to try something else. This is actually what it says in verse 7. If it is serving, let him serve. This is great. Or look at verse 8, where it says, if it is encouraging, let this person encourage. Maybe you can start to say, hello, how are you, to someone that you don't normally talk to at H2O. Or maybe even someone you find difficult to talk to. You're going to encourage them. Or you're going to show mercy and kindness to someone who might not treat you very kindly. Or maybe you want to start to pray for just one person every week that they get something else out of H2O. Or perhaps you've got a game or a skill that you have kept secret all these years and God has been nudging you and said, you know, it'd be really good if we did that at H2O. In which case, come and talk to us. That'd be great. You can think this way about all of Soldiersford Church, actually. And grown-ups, older Christians, the rest of us, that should be our attitude, shouldn't it? How do I play my part so the other person grows? And I don't think of myself too highly or too lowly. Okay, that's total transformation in the light of salvation, thinking about life at church. Now we'll spend some time thinking about life with people who aren't Christians. This is from verses 17 to 21. You see, this life-changing attitude is going to get real with school and college life and with your mates as well. Look at verse 2 again. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't just fit in with everybody else. You probably feel this a bit already. John Tilford said how uncomfortable he felt sometimes thinking about as a Christian. But this difference is going to keep on being there, and as you get older, it will grow. Paul is really saying here that this is about cake making with two molds and a battle between two chefs. Just picture that for a moment. One of these chefs wants to make a hungry caterpillar cake and conform you into that. And the other one wants to make a butterfly cake and form you into that. So you want to be a butterfly, don't you? Okay, it's a little bit of a lame analogy, but look, can you see the two are not the same? One really has changed and lives a totally different life. If the two cakes were actually real, one would crawl in the dirt and eat dirt, and one would fly in the sky. That is total metamorphosis. Look at verse 2, the word in there that says be transformed. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorphosis. It's a complete change. Think about the cakes for a minute. A caterpillar cake or a butterfly cake? They're totally different. The caterpillar crawls in the dirt, the other one flies in the sky. Where do you belong now if you're a Christian? What do dirt and sky really have in common? You've been changed. Keep changing. Keep with God's change. So let's stay with food for a moment. You're in the lunch queue. And there's that posse of people who everyone knows, and they're elbowing their way in. And now, are you going to get real with Jesus? Or are you going to use your elbows? Jesus would step aside. But the worldly wise will hit hard and get hit back. This is verse 17, isn't it? Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Or that kid in the classroom who suddenly started spiting you. Are you going to spite them back? Now, mums and dads of these three guys, youth workers who are working with them, Andy, your family need to listen, because we know that you guys are going to really start thinking and working this thing through, and we're going to need to support that. We're going to need to be there to ask, how's it going? How did it go? You were baptized a couple of weeks ago. How are you feeling now? That is our body place from verses 4 and 5, isn't it, that we saw earlier? What about Facebook? Here's another place where the jokes start flying. And then one of your mates posts a status update, and then the dirt is throwing about, and the slagging off starts, and where are you going to step in? What about if it's you who's getting hit? Mum, dad, youth workers? How does Jesus respond to that? Do you think for a minute that Jesus doesn't read Facebook? Jesus doesn't need Facebook. He can read your heart, and that is way faster than even the fastest fiber optic broadband. And he says, verse 18, if it's possible, as far as you can, live at peace. Live at peace. And then he goes on to say, do what is right. Do the right thing so that everyone can see that and thinks, yeah, do you know, that guy, that girl, she did the right thing. Not in a keep everyone happy way, but in a really right way. Is it right to jump in and label someone a loser or like a comment that makes someone feel a loser? This word right in here, this rightness that Jesus is asking us to have, is about doing the beautiful thing, the true thing, the pure way. What's the pure way? To bless, to see the right thing do. The thing that Jesus would do and rejoice is God's heart, which is good for you. So with Facebook, sometimes the pure thing, the best thing, is just not to comment. Sometimes the pure thing is to make a comment and actually build someone up. You work that out with Jesus, don't you? You pray as you Facebook. Is that a challenge for you? Do you need to start to realize that's a good thing for you to do? So this new growing life is going to be hard. It hurt Jesus to honor God and put up with people's misunderstanding and attempts to twist his words and actions. But he was faithful. We are not here to save the world as he did. But we are here to be patterned to think and act and live and breathe and be like him. This will mean lifelong obedience as you choose to follow him every day. Jesus will metamorphose you. There will be good times. There will be bad times. So let me tell you how you keep on going. The clue's in verse 11. Did you spot it? Well, if you closed your Bible and tucked it away, because you don't need that anymore. Get it out if you've closed it. Look at verse 11. What does it say? Never be lacking in zeal. That's your energy to follow Jesus. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The word there, spiritual fervor, is about keeping a kettle on the boil. If we're camping and we run out of gas, the kettle doesn't boil and we can't make tea. If you're a Christian and you move away from Jesus, you will not keep spiritually hot and you won't be at your best. And we know how important good tea is for Christians, don't we? But listen, this isn't about tea. It's about the temperature of your heart. So don't get off the boil because you get distracted. Now, when I was younger, in motorway service stations, there used to be a machine which made something that looked like, it might even have smelt like, but it didn't really taste like tea. It was a thing called a Max Pax machine. You may remember it if you're a little bit older. Do not settle for what used to be called Max Pax tea with its awful taste. Stay connected to Jesus by letting his words in the Bible teach your heart. Make time in every place to be with him. Realize that if he's king today as you're baptized, He's king as you play Facebook. Sorry, you're on Facebook, you're playing on Xbox. He's king when you meet your boyfriend or your girlfriend. He is king when you settle down and your head hits the pillow at the end of the day. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You're serving Jesus now. Other people do not matter anymore. Your status, to use the Facebook term, is fine. You could say Jesus likes you, but he's so much more than that, isn't he? He is your true friend, not your Facebook friend. That's a whole other sermon I'm not going to preach now. So what does it matter what your bus companions think of you? You stay plugged in with Jesus, don't you? You remember where you came from. You remember the view of God's mercy, like Ryan remembered Captain John H. Miller. Now, to help you really understand this, I've got one last picture and one last illustration. When you buy a new car these days, they often come with a servicing package, which is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It means every year you take the car back to the garage where you bought it, and they do some things, you hope, in a shed behind the garage, and it comes back to you, just as it always was. Same car, just a little bit older, with a few scratches, maybe. But hang on. God is not just about keeping you the same, keeping you on the road. Imagine this. You take your car in one year and it comes out with a new console. And there are round dials that weren't there before. Next year you collect it. And there is this big sticking out thing on the top that is way too big for an aerial. But maybe it's a DAB radio thing. Before you realize it is another year and you have trouble parking it now. Because it is a lot longer and a lot thinner than it was before. Finally, you turn up one year to collect your car. Someone gives you the keys in reception. They hand you the paperwork, and you cannot find your car. You look around the car park, and you find someone has parked a really smart-looking jet aeroplane there, though. Now, that would be total transformation, wouldn't it? You see, a jet aeroplane is still a way of getting around. It's like a car. It moves people and things. But that's a totally new way of life, isn't it? You see the whole world from a literally different perspective. There really is a third dimension. Halfords on the Emscot Road can't even dream of doing that to your car. And even the newest concept at Jaguar Land Rover, it is so far short of that, isn't it? But that is actually what Jesus wants to do with you. The same you, but a totally new way of living, moving and being. It will take the rest of your life. So be metamorphosed. Be transformed. Change with Jesus. Give him all you are. Don't hold a little bit back. You see, you might feel now, or perhaps a little bit later, that God is a bit of a don't do that God, or a bit of a killjoy. And this sermon and this reading in Romans sounds a little bit like a list of don'ts, which is partly true, to be fair. But look at it this way. Hear the encouragement. Listen to the positives. In view of God's mercy, what does he say? Serve, teach, encourage, bless, rejoice, love, be careful, be at peace. The life of God is a whole lot of good. It will teach you to say no to things that are not good for you. And it will teach you to say yes to things that are really, really deeply good. There's some traffic lights down the road, aren't there? Red, amber and green traffic lights have specific meanings, don't they? Stop, think, get ready and go. This passage today gives us the same sequence. Stop allowing the world to dictate your life. Think about what God has said in his words, what Jesus has done on the cross and how we understand that. Meditate on that. Let it sink deeply into your heart. And then go and do what he says. Put his words to the test and prove that he is right. Following Jesus is not just about spiritual thoughts and comfortable feelings. It is an active, conscious, thought-through decision to change, even though the world around will not understand. When we make that change, and we put it into practice, it puts us in the middle of God's way for us, which is always the best he wants. So what did Paul say? Therefore, I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's kindness to you, give to God what he has won, your whole body and life. This is the only logical thing you can do now. He's worth it. That is lifelong worship. Let's pray.